Well, we start back on the 1955 Kailua Study Series on January of 2009. And that is roughly 54 years since these people met in Joel's living room. But because we understand that time is a human concept, and in the spirit is infinity and eternity, we know that meeting is taking place right now in the spirit. And so if you will close your eyes and relax and rest back in that spirit, you will feel what it has to say. And it says to us, material sense must be abandoned, even when it is good material sense. That is a highlight of this message. And then we are told that good human beings, even the best ones, can be bad tomorrow. Healthy human beings can be sick tomorrow. Nice human beings can be mean tomorrow, selfish. Live human beings can be dead. These are the opposites of good and evil. These are the opposites of the second chapter of Genesis, that creation of the mind, in which the entire human race lives, sowing and reaping, incarnating, lifetime after lifetime. That is material sense, and it must be abandoned, both of them. That's a hard place to come to on the spiritual path. It takes many years, really, truly. And if you are able to do it fairly swiftly, don't fool yourself. You've had experience somewhere else, at some other place. Otherwise, you would not be ready. Now, in the beginning of our entrance to the spiritual path, we are usually looking for some good. We want to change lack into supply, hopefully abundance. We want to change loneliness into companionship, hopefully the perfect mate. We want to change sickness or disease into a healthy, functioning human body. And all those are legitimate reasons. Everybody that came to Christ that we read about in the Bible also came for those reasons. But some stayed for the teaching. And those of us that entered the spiritual path for those reasons and are still here, lo, these many years later, or many realizations later, are still here because, well, it has to be because we've been touched by grace. It can't be any reason of our own, I guarantee you. So we're at this place where material sense must be abandoned. Both of the opposites. We have here lately online somebody posting the material from above the pairs of opposites, and it's really quite wonderful to me. This is what we have to do. As long as we're trying to get God to change bad into good, or sickness into health, or loneliness into company, or lack into supply of some sort, or our belief in what supply is, then we are still working in the opposites. We haven't left or abandoned material sense. So he says, abandoning material sense, a spiritual man can never die. A spiritual supply can never leave one. You see, we have to die completely to the entire human scene. What does it say in the Infinite Way book? Only when we have risen above the entire human scene, the dream of the opposites, can we find the spiritual kingdom. And those of us that are still here on this path are here for nothing less than the entire spiritual kingdom. And now we are being told yet again that we have to abandon material sense. And we're going to go into that on how we do that in a minute. But first, we're asked, what is supply? And if somebody was to ask you right now, what is supply? Tell me, can you? And they were sincere. I doubt very much that you would say, a garden full of potatoes, or a bank full of dollars, or even a body full of healthy organs. Because by now you know, as I do, that there's an invisible spiritual substance, which when you are still, when the mind is quiet, when it stops thinking for a moment, you feel that invisible spiritual substance. And if it's happened to you, you've seen how it appears as form. And so you would have to say at this point, supply, well, invisible spiritual substance is supply. And it appears as our need fulfilled. Only when it is realized. And that's what he says. What is supply? The realization of the Spirit of God. He says, once we've attained the realization of the Spirit of God, we can never be separated from any form of supply. Food, clothing, housing, health, companionship. We have got to abandon material sense. What is material sense? He asks. If someone was to ask you that, what would you say material sense is? Well, he says it's dependence on person, place, and thing. That's part of it. Dependence on person, place, and thing. Because if you've got your dependence on person, place, and thing, and you know that person, place, or thing are concepts, then you don't have your reliance on spirit, do you? On that invisible spiritual substance. You're looking to person, place, and thing, which are concepts, and we already know they vacillate between good and evil. It's the nature of the concepts, the mind creation of the second chapter of Genesis. But, the first chapter of Genesis, where the spirit forms itself, pure consciousness, appearing, forming itself, that is eternal. That is forever. That is what supply is. And so that's what we have to look towards. But we can't look towards that until we've felt it, because it's just a theory until we actually make the contact. By now, he is assuming that we have all made the contact. Following this Kailua study series and the directions that were given us, we've made a contact. Now he's telling you, we have to abandon all and follow it. We have to abandon material sense and switch our dependence from person, place, and thing to that invisible spiritual substance. But that's only part of it, part of material sense. It's also calling anyone good or evil, or human judgments. Sure, because all of the human judgments Every time you judge by appearances, you're believing the dream. You're believing this appearance of good and evil, the concepts, you're believing in them. And so, whether you love anything out here, person, place, or thing, whether you depend on anything out here, person, place, or thing, whether you fear anything out here, person, place, or thing, or whether you hate anything out here, person, place, or thing, that's material sense. And he's said that to us, hasn't he? You have to abandon your love, your dependence, your fear, or your hate of person, place, or thing. And your judgment of it, because if you judge it, you're also believing it. So all that must be abandoned, and a spiritual sense take its place. Now, what is spiritual sense? Well, up here in the next chapter, in number 11, he gives a great definition of it. So I'm going to skip over there and we'll come back. Number 11, spiritual consciousness as against material sense. When you see the invisible, when you see the infinite invisible, when you see the infinite invisible as the law, cause, activity, and drop all your concern for any form, whether person, thing, or condition, then you are attaining spiritual consciousness and losing material sense. All right, so to abandon material sense means to abandon your dependence on person, place, and thing. To abandon your calling anything good or evil. To abandon all human judgments or beliefs. And instead, to switch to making that contact within, where you actually see, feel, sense, and know spirit, and then stand still as a beholder, as it forms itself as your experience. Then you can see that that infinite invisible spirit is the law, cause, activity of your experience, and drop the other. So the two go hand in hand, right? So, number 8, principle number 8, and this is, of course, principles which every Infinite Way student must know, and he means that, must. Number 8, the principle for number 8 is material sense must be abandoned, even when it is good material sense. And that's what I was going to comment on. But I wandered off, so let me wander back. Even when it's good, material sense, most of us came here originally looking for good. Now, we have reached the place where good must be abandoned as well. Because it's just the other side of the coin. The two sides of the mental creation are good and evil. As long as you're trying to change evil into good, and it doesn't matter whether you're out here leading the charge in a brigade about to topple some foreign government because you think it's evil, or whether you're sitting down quietly in your meditation and you're trying to know the truths to change an evil picture into a good one. It's the same thing. It's the same illusion or delusion in the mind, which says that you can somehow change the picture and everything will be okay. On this path, in this study, we are being taught to abandon all of that. Remember one time, Joel said he had a class, and over the front of the door it said, "Abandon all hope, all ye that enter in." Sort of like the pirates. Well, why would he have such a thing over a spiritual class, over the door of a spiritual class? Because he was attempting to teach this principle. You have to abandon material sense, even when it is good material sense. And that's what I was going to say. It's very hard for most students to grasp that. It takes a lot of years. That's where I started. It takes a lot of years to get to that point where we are ready to give that up too. And so congratulations. You are standing on the precipice, really, where you're almost ready to step off. I had a spiritual man tell me one time, and I think this is what he was referring to. He said to me, "You know, Bill, you're going to reach a place someday where you are going to be standing on the edge of a cliff, a precipice, and you look down several thousand feet, and the still small voice is going to say, 'Now step off.' And he says, 'You're going to do it.' But," says he, "you're going to find that when you step off, expecting to plunge to certain death, underneath are the everlasting arms, and suddenly you realize, 'Why, hey, I'm still standing.'" That would be just about where the student is that's reached the point of being ready to abandon all material sense, even good material sense. It's a long journey from the beginning of the path to here. And so I mean it when I say congratulations. I know some of the hard work involved. All right, so again, once we've attained the realization of the Spirit of God, that is, we've made the contact, we've had the feeling of it, we can never be separated from any form of supply, whether food, clothing, housing, health, companionship, or whatnot. And so it is that we have to abandon material sense. All right? So I wrote, our number one top priority is now to attain the realization of spirit. Now he calls it making the contact, or attaining the realization of Spirit of God. They're the same thing. All right, so do we have a good enough feeling for what this means? Material sense must be abandoned even when it is good material sense? Let us see how you do that in meditation. In meditation, you would close your eyes and you would remind yourself, as he has told us in dozens of places in the writings, "Father, I'm not here to change this picture from bad into good. I'm not seeking this or that or the other thing. I'm here only to rest in your presence. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So now let me be still and experience that Spirit." And we take no thought. We have those 2 to 3 minutes of silence. And when we feel the Spirit, when we feel that presence, what he calls making the contact, what I call feeling the presence, then we rest in it for as long as we feel it. But if it diminishes and the human mind comes back and you start having thoughts again, then you open your eyes and go about your business. Making that contact is the number one top priority. That's called realization, or feeling the Spirit. Feeling it, making contact. That's our number one top priority. That should be what you have learned how to do by studying this material. That should be what you are. That should be who you are, really. I am one who makes the contact by making of myself a nothingness. And then I behold as the Spirit goes forth and lives itself. So we come to principle number 9. And this fits right in here. Knowing the truth about people and things will result in failure. Why? Because it goes to what he just said. Material senses, human judgments. What possible truth can you know about people and things or conditions? You can't. You can't know any truth about them. There is no truth about them. That's the big lie, the big illusion. So, there is no truth about people. Know the truth about God. Now, you need to listen to this. It's going to make you uncomfortable. It doesn't matter. You're being told to step off the cliff. So, let's go through it and try to relax. Don't get excited. Get the feel of it. All right. Knowing the truth about people and things will result in failure. There is no truth about people. Know the truth about God. All of this type of treatment or prayer, which has to do with you are spiritual, he is perfect, she's a child of God, all of that will get you exactly no place. That is not spiritual awareness. The only spiritual truth is that God is all, and God is individual being. Are you ready? Because here it comes. God is, and besides God, there is no man, woman, or child anywhere in the world. God is, and God constitutes individual being. And how many individual beings does God constitute? One. The Lord our God is one individual being. You see, I used to read that and think, okay, God is individual being. 4 billion beings. God is 4 billion individual beings. That is untrue. That is not the truth. God is one individual being. The Word manifests as invisible flesh. One infinite, invisible, incorporeal being. And that one called Christ. So God emanates itself as Christ, the infinite individual being, the only being, one being, God itself individualized as infinite individual being. Now, how could it be infinite individual being and there be a bunch of other infinite individual beings? It can't be. It can't be. The principle is one. So, here he says, God is infinite individual being, one being, the only being, and there is no man, woman, or child anywhere in the world. So, up here where he says you have to abandon material sense means you have to abandon seeing, or rather believing what the senses show you as man, woman, or child, or plant, or animal. You have to go into your meditation, discount all that, abandon it in your meditation. Sit still until God as infinite, one infinite individual being is revealed to you. And when you feel that one infinite individual being, you rest in it because it's your infinite individual being. There is no other. There's only one. And as you rest in it, you can even realize, I am this being. And there is no other. Remember, when he says that you need to have a realization of this, This is not a thought about this entertained in your mind. That mind is the mind showing you the man, woman, child. So that's not going to show you this. Again, the principle, as I have said in the past, not only is it to be demonstrated in your life, it's to be demonstrated in each individual meditation. And so when you go into meditation, you are to abandon all material sense, even good material sense. You are to know the truth about God. You are to have the inner conscious awareness of God as the one infinite individual being. You are to rest in the knowledge that I am that. You see, there is no truth about human beings, as he says, because there are no human beings. And that's what you must realize in your meditation. How can you say to someone, as he suggests earlier in this book, in this study, "Oh yes, I'll help you," and then drop them completely out of consciousness, unless you have that ability to abandon all material sense, to know there are no human beings, and then to sit still, to invite that infinite Christ, God as infinite individual being, the one being, to flow and feel it. You can't do that unless you know the truth of these statements. There is no truth about people. You are to know the truth about God. That's the only truth there is. So the only truth there is about God. And knowing the truth about God, you make mortals disappear. There it is again, just in plain black and white. The only truth there is about God. And in knowing the truth about God, you make mortals disappear. And in their place, the child of God appears. So your part is to know the truth about God until you've abandoned material sense. Now we're talking about in your meditation right now. Eventually this will be in your life. But right now we're talking about in your meditation. You are to know the truth about God until you've reached a place of stillness where you have abandoned material sense. And then mortals disappear. And in their place, the child of God appears as your inner realization. You feel it, the one infinite individual being, as the only being. When that happens, a human being is transformed into the image and likeness of God. Do you see that? It's only done by knowing the truth about God, and God's creation, and God's law, God's being, and God's activity, God's wisdom, and God's love, or knowing the truth about the one infinite individual being. So do you see the depth of these little principles he's giving us in two or three quick paragraphs? Number 9, knowing the truth about people and things will result in failure. There is no truth about people, so know the truth about God. You see the depth of that? It's only what? 1, 2, 3 paragraphs. And it has taken you and him too, how many dozens of years? How many incarnations to reach the point where you can do that, where you can step off that cliff? A long time. And so it is indeed a time to say congratulations. What a major work. What a major initiation you have come through. And now you are ready. Okay, so there's plenty there to meditate on and contemplate on and go over again, read again, and take it each word at a time, each line at a time. But let's move on to number 10 so we can complete this chapter tonight. Number 10. First, he says, each one of these numbers could just as well be a whole book. It's up to you to write a book in your own mind about each one of these statements. Really, it's up to you to write a book in your own soul through actual realization of each one of them. Because that's what it's going to take, not the knowing, not that you can repeat this book back in 10 months, but that you have a realization of each and every one of these, which means the feeling of it. So yes, it's necessary to take each one of these, even though it's only 3 paragraphs, into your meditation, into practicing it in your life and your existence until you have the inner feel of it, the inner realization. So, yes, it's necessary to make a book out of each one of these. So we come to number 10, the last one in this chapter, and it is first fruits. Again, just like principle number 2, principle number 5, now we have principle number 10. It must be important because he keeps bringing it up again and again and again. And as I said before, it's important for 2 reasons. This number 10 is important for 2 reasons. One is if you're going to prove that you are that living Christ, you're going to have to act like it. And the only way you can do that is by beginning to pour out. So again, he says, we will have to determine how we are going to give our first fruits. There are many ways. We can give 10% to either churches or benevolences. Whatever it is we wish to do that is of an impersonal nature, that is outside of what we do for our relatives and friends. And that's important, because if you're giving only to me and mine, then it's not really pouring out impersonally. And the Christ is impersonal. It doesn't feel any different pouring out love to the stranger down the street or in another country than it does pouring out love to its own relative. There can't be any difference there. The difference would be in the mind. And the mind, of course, is the place of the false creation. If the Christ looks out and sees one individual being, its own being, there can't be any difference. So it's important that we learn to pour out to an impersonal source or an impersonal place, something other than relatives or friends. But you can see there's much deeper vision behind this idea of first fruits. Now, when I first came across this principle, I was in the middle of a court dispute. Somebody was suing me for something, and it sure felt unfair and unjustified. Anyway, I was struggling with it, what to do about it, when I ran across this principle of first fruits, and I meditated on it really deeply, and it dawned on me, why don't I pray for that person? Instead of sitting down and having a meditation for myself, for my friends, or my relatives, or students, why don't I give my first fruits to this person that's suing me? And not to the person, but to, because there's no truth about the person, but to the reality of them. So I started to pour out. I made a little promise to myself. Every time I sat down to meditate, the next few days, weeks, I would sit down first and have a meditation, knowing the truth for that person, pouring out to them. The one that was suing me, trying to get $30,000. I had my first fruits poured out to them, but not to the person, to the reality of them. And so I prayed for them first before I had a meditation for anything else. Every single meditation started that way. Of course, you know what happened, don't you? Well, first, it's just like anything else. The freedom is realized within first, and then it appears out here, and that's what happened to me. I became free from the thoughts and things of this world, which is what we're promised when we go into meditation. When we make that contact, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Freedom. Freedom from the thoughts and things of this world. And that's what happened. I experienced my freedom from fear or anger or anything else connected with this situation or this person. Then, out here, when it went before the judge agreed with me. And it was dropped. And not only that, but I suddenly had a relationship with this person where we could talk civilly on the phone. Not best friends, but, you know, we communicated and we were friendly with each other. So, what I'm trying to say is, I first discovered this principle by practicing it in that way, giving it away in an impersonal manner, and I saw it work. First it freed me within, and then the freedom appeared out here. So, he says there is a much deeper vision behind the idea of first fruits. We can give our spiritual vision to each other. And that's what I was doing. So the way we would do that is by consciously knowing the truth. In other words, again, if I'm giving to you, I can only give you in this way, by knowing God to be the source of your being and the activity of maintaining and sustaining you. I am knowing the truth. I am giving you the first fruit. And now you may call it prayer or treatment, but I'm giving it to you in a conscious realization. That's what I was doing to this person. Okay, so he suggests that you can certainly set aside a period every single day to know that the Infinite Way and Joel and all those engaged in its activity, well, go back to your knowing the truth that God constitutes their being. It's really an activity of God. Because it's an activity of God, it isn't even dependent on a person. Because it's an activity of God, there's no limit to it, and so forth, and so on. If you were to really see that the Infinite Way as an activity of God, I tell you it would spread to the ends of the world faster than it's doing. Now, I wrote up here, Kailua study. I would like all of you hearing this to really see that this Kailua study, which started in 1955 and is now flowing through us, is an activity of God. If you really see it, and you see it's not dependent on a person, or a talk, or a book, but it's that invisible spiritual being expressing itself. If you will do that, and spend some time every day, then this Kailua study will spread to the ends of the world, and it really will. And you can partake of that. You can be the realization behind that. So guess what? You thought you didn't have enough times, right? Now here's another meditation period during your day or night that you can just squeeze in there sometime between all those other times he's given us. But he says, just think what would happen if every student would give their first fruits to this work. What would happen if every one of us gave our first fruits to this Kailua study? It would travel the world, even as it's doing. And then he makes one final suggestion here. Here he says, you do see you can prosper the message by giving it your first fruits. You can give it spiritually, and you can even forgive it its sins, if it has any. Do what you like, but open out a way yourself for the giving of first fruits. So, yeah, you can do that with this Kailua study. All right, we're going to continue with principle number 10. You open out a way for giving of your first fruits. Even if Christ has not yet made its appearance in you, Christ will be born in you through the activity of first fruits. Now, that's pretty important. I circled that, put a little star next to it. This is a promise. Listen, if you haven't made your contact yet and you've been having those 12 times a day or something similar, He says here, if it hasn't yet made its appearance in you, the Christ will be born in you through the activity of first fruits. There is no finer way than in the agreement that I am an instrument of the Christ, of God, through which all blessings can flow to this universe. You will find that that realization will bring the experience of Christ to you. Alright, so that realization again means feeling that within you. So by practicing those 12 times a day and giving of first fruits in this way, he says it will bring the experience of Christ to you, or the Christ will be born in you through this realization and activity. So I'd say that's pretty important. Alright, whatever it is that you loose from within yourself and give out is blessing you. Whatever you are taking in is only a preparation for that other step. Now that's the spiritual principle. Whatever you pour out, you've got to find a way to pour out. Please stop thinking in terms of your dollars or your love or your time or your service. That's what's keeping you in limitation, believing it's yours. It's not yours. You don't have anything to pour out. The way that you pour out is by first going within in your meditation, making that contact, having the conscious awareness of the infinite, the one infinite individual being, the spirit, invisible spiritual substance, making that contact, feeling that, and then inviting it to flow and giving of your first fruits. Now, those two meditations combined together will bring the experience of the Christ, and it will show you how to pour. It will tell you, you need to send some money over there, or it will tell you, you need to, well, you'll have people writing to you and asking you for help, or it'll tell you, you need to realize the truth for that person, they can't do it for themselves, or it'll tell you, why don't you help him out, or why don't you help her out? It will begin to express itself. It will be it pouring out, rather than a person pouring out. But unless you open out a way for that imprisoned splendor to pour out, then you're not going to have it. Because one of the paradoxes of the spiritual path is you have to give it away in order to have it. How do you prove you have something? The principle is, to him that hath, it shall be given. To him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. So how do you prove you have something? By sharing it. That's how you prove you have it. And so when you share, when you become the instrument for Christ to pour out a blessing, then you prove you have. You've proved the principle. You've demonstrated the principle. And to him that hath, it shall be, well, really, multiplied end over end over end. Heaped up, pressed down, and running over, is what Christ says. So, Joel feels it's pretty important. He's mentioned it 3 times just in that chapter. Now, we'll go back over principle number 11 when we start next week. We have completed 33 chapters. We're going to start on chapter 34 next week. That means there'll only be 6 left. But, well, we have so much in these little principles. Let's look at them again real quick before we quit tonight. Starting with principle number 7, we must demonstrate God, not persons or things or conditions. That we've learned right through, right from the very beginning, from the early days, when I said we would never again have an outer demonstration to make. All we have to demonstrate is the presence of God. Principle number 8, material sense must be abandoned, even when it is good material sense, and that means in your meditation, in each meditation. We must abandon material sense. And then if we do that in our meditation, we will do it in our lives. We'll abandon material sense. And number 9, which fits together with that, is knowing the truth about people and things will result in failure, because there are no people and things. There is no truth about people, so know the truth about God. Again, this is in your meditation. You know the truth about God. It's the only truth there is. God is infinite individual being, one being. Know the truth about that being in your meditation, and then it will demonstrate itself in your life. And finally, you must pour out, but not you the person. No, you must make that contact and allow that invisible spiritual substance to flow through you. And it will show you, it will hint to you, nudge you in what way it wants you to give. And that's how you prove that you have. Again, first in your meditation, and then you'll prove it out here. So, can you see how every one of these principles throughout this Kai Lua study series, and really throughout the entire Infinite Way, is something that's first realized in meditation and then demonstrated as your life, as your living experience? So, as within, so without. Because we reach the place where within is without. Without is within. There stops being this great separation. And we start discovering that the within has become the without. That the kingdom of heaven within is now that in which we abide. It abides in us, and we abide in it. And the two are one. And we're walking in it. And it's walking in us. Okay. I would only say this to wrap this up. Do not be afraid to step off of that cliff. Because underneath are the everlasting arms. And the only thing that you can hear when you take that step is, be not afraid, it is I. I am here. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Abandon all material sense. Step off and discover you are supported by one infinite individual spiritual being called Christ. First, do it in your meditation. Again and again. Then discover you have done it for your entire life. You have demonstrated it as your entire life. As your entire living experience. You've abandoned it within. You've abandoned it without. And wake up to the fact that now there's no mortal anymore. By abandoning it, you have abandoned the mortal where you appeared to be. and now you will discover that only Christ stands there. You will discover that you are immortal, eternal, spiritual being. You'll discover you are the one infinite individual being, one with the Father. Thank you. Godspeed. And remember, the I is always with you. Good night.